book of Acts this morning, Acts chapter 1. Aren't you glad for God's redeeming grace in our life? If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have not experienced that grace yet. Oh, He's given you what we theologically say has general grace. You're enjoying this world that He's created. He sustains you, those kinds of things. But there's something far greater in redeeming grace where God has redeemed your soul through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He died for your sins, paid that price. The offer is yours for free. You just need to repent of your sin, turn to Christ alone, trust Him alone, and He can be your Savior, and you can experience that wonderful redeeming grace. Believers, how do we live it each day without redeeming grace, right? We've often said, how could someone go through whatever it is in their life without Christ there? And that's a reality. I am so glad that Christ, my Redeemer, my Savior, walks with me day by day, and I'm grateful for that. So if you're here today without Christ, come to Him. It's what a wonderful offer Christ gives. I'm glad that I came to Him years ago, and it's still a rich blessing in my life. It will be for eternity, right? We will enjoy that for eternity. Well, here in Acts chapter 1, we see, I'm going down to verse 9 is where I'm actually going to start today. If I could put it this way, one of the most significant transitions in Scripture, changes. Could you imagine, and it's hard for us to, but do your best, all right? Join with me in the imagination process of being one of the 12 apostles. At this point, one of the 11. Judas is gone. The reality of who he was as a betrayer and an unbeliever has been exemplified, and he's spending eternity without Christ. That's sad. For the 11 that remain, can you imagine? You've been with Christ all these years. You think He's died. No, He rose again. You're trying to grasp all that God is doing, and He's back alive again. This is unbelievable. And it is. It's miraculous. And for those approximately 40 days post-resurrection, the joy and glee of heart, it's something new. Christ, He's here for in a moment and then gone again. experiencing the reality of His resurrection body, which is unique and different, all right? And we will experience that one day, all of those things. And then we have this happen. And Christ says, I'm leaving you. The tragedy of that moment in the disciples' hearts must have been terrible. Here's their Lord and Savior who has been walking with them. The most precious thing in their life, the most precious person. And then he, right before their eyes, ascends and is gone. So I can put myself in verse 9 and write with the disciples. You know, in my life, if you haven't ever caught me sleeping, one of the things, you know, we all sleep a little differently, and one of my quirks, and several of you do the same thing, so I'm not in this alone, but you know, the jaw just relaxes. And I was on the plane coming home yesterday, and the other, you know, we literally, at this time, had gotten up at 1:30 in the morning to get on the plane to get here. So we were on the ground here by like 7:45 in the morning, having flown in from Syracuse, New York. What a way to spend your day. Anyways, I'm on the plane. It's like, yes, finally. And the guy beside me was fast asleep. He had his headphones on, not just earbuds. I mean, these big, massive things. Anyways, you can't talk to him anyway. So I start doing the old head bob. You know, you're falling asleep. Oh, man. And then one of those head bob times, I realized my mouth is, you know, at least the drool wasn't coming out. Anyways. Okay, so here are the disciples, the 12 apostles, the 11 apostles. And if I were there, my mouth would be wide open. It's like, what just happened? And now what? This seems to be something final. Something, He's just given me words. Stay here. Stay in Jerusalem until you see the promise that I've given you. Oh, He's gone. Pretty major transition in their life, right? Well, let's read. Now, so with that all in mind, let's think through some of the things that God gives the disciples in the midst of transition and how they responded to it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful illustration for us. It's meant for us today. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, he'd just given him verse 8, you shall receive power and be witnesses unto me, all right? When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said also said, ye men of Galilee, I like the humble address. It's just who they are. Folks were just kind of normal people. Tools in God's hand to be used of him. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Well, there's a level at which my mind says, you really want to know the answer? Like, duh, that's an obvious question and answer, all right? Why am I, that's my Lord. He just left, my best friend, my shepherd. He's gone. And you ask, why am I standing here? I want to scream, I want to cry, I want to run, I want to do, and you're asking, why am I standing here gazing up in heaven? All right, but obviously that's not just the purpose of that question. The angels, under God's direction, are asking a very pointed question. All right, disciple, what are you going to do now? Life is changing. So what are you doing now? And aren't you glad God gives good answers? They're always the right answers, always at the right moment, at the right time, in the right place. You know, I don't care if you're an adult or teenager here. You have a dad or a mom that just seems to say the right word at the right time. Sometimes it's just the moment, you know, it's like you were just going to do something really fun, and then dad steps in. Yeah, dad, I know. Anyways. Well, okay, here's the wise word for the moment. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now, why was that the right answer? Because it was reality. He's gone. But don't worry, that's not the end of the story. Your story, disciples, still continue. What God has planned for you is unique and for you. And one day you will be reunited. In talking, when I talked with Tim the first time, we hugged, we were crying our eyes out. I said, you know, one of the joys of all this is that one day in heaven, there will be no more partings there. Hey, I'm going around the block. Oh, I'm going around the world, but I'll see you tomorrow. I mean, there's no tomorrow anyways. I'll see you next. All right? Isn't that okay? But for the moment, for this life, God gives us hope. And through these wonderful angels said, all right, it's okay. Yes, he's gone. But one day he's coming back. Folks, are you waiting for that comeback? Are we not in the same shoes as the disciples here? I can't wait. As I got saved and as I grew in the Lord, it's like the return of Christ, we've experienced loss in our lives, and the return of Christ just becomes so much precious. If it happened right now, we'd all be singing glory, wouldn't we? Okay, that's our hope. But he hasn't returned, at least not yet. It may be in just a minute, but not yet. So what do I do now? Okay, well, let's watch what the disciples do in response to the reality that there was this big change in their life, that the Lord was gone. All right, what do they do? So verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. There you are, there's the 11 apostles. These all continued with one accord in rantings and cryings. No, in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren, right? These are talking about his physical brothers here. This is amazing. This is the first mention we have after the Gospels. I know it's really quick, but now we discover and learn, wait a second, somewhere along the way here, his brothers have become followers of him. We'd seen the picture in the Gospels of them kind of mocking him. Why don't you go down to Jerusalem? If you want to be popular, Jesus, you got to go down to the crowds. And Jesus said, my time is not yet. Somewhere along the way, his brothers realized he was their Messiah, even though he was just their brother in their mind. What a joy. What a sweet testimony. The work of God had been completed in their life. And in fact, we'll discover as we go through the book of Acts that one of probably his next brother in line, James, becomes the pastor of the church of Jerusalem. That's pretty, to me, that's cool. May God help each of us to reach our families for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be faithful. Don't be shy to share the gospel, all right? And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Now, he's still doing what's right here. And said, and now Luke, in just a great way, he throws it in under inspiration. The number of the names together were about 120. So this list back in verse number 14 of the women of Mary, the brethren, well, that was only a partial list. There's 120 people that are gathering with the 11 apostles, waiting for what God would do, the empowerment of the Spirit to come that he just promised before he ascended. What a sweet group. Now, they're in the midst of waiting. Hang in there. Now, their wait wasn't that long. Again, let's pray together as a church family. May God make the wait and the transition here not long. But his timing is perfect. We'll wait on him through that, all right? Men and brethren, verse 16, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this in ministry. So that's the end of the quote from the book of Psalms. He'll quote again in verse number 20. Now we have in verse 18 and 19 a little bit of Luke's narrative, a little bit of telling you what happened in light of this, of the prophecy from the book of Psalms. Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. A kind of a gross description of what appears to have happened with Judas. All right? Now, back to quoting Scripture. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, his office, let another take. So now Peter is quoting Scripture. He has received his just reward for the deeds and his unbelief in Jesus Christ as his Savior and his betraying Christ. And now we have this role, apostolic role, his bishopric, as it's called here, needs to be given to another. So now Peter is going to act on God's word. Wherefore, verse 21, of these men, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, talking about the ascension that we just read about, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now, just one of those side thoughts, but this verse gives us a slight clue. Maybe at the ascension there were more than just the 11 there. We have in the first part of the book of Acts that we just read a moment ago, we know the 11 are there, see Jesus ascend. Could it be that as they listed the qualifications for the next apostle, that he was there too? It says all the way until he was taken up from us. At least we know for sure the timing. At least he's been here all this time, all right? Could it be that says I'm on. It's going back and forth. The wire's okay. Mike, if you need to put me on the center, he'll pay attention, so I'll talk. Oh, there it comes back. There we go. All right. Well, I'll talk, and we'll just keep on going. All right. So, could be that actually the next apostle actually saw the ascension as well. Verse 23. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. I don't know, I wonder if Matthias ever was jealous. Like, Joseph has like three names, and I only have one. Anyways, there we go. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord. Now notice again, so the church family, the gathering, the 120, prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men,
show whether of these two thou hast chosen. So they acknowledge that the Lord already knows who would be the best one to fill, but there's a human plane at which the decision must be made. And so before they make the decision, the choice, they say, Lord, we want to do your will. We want the right one to take the bishopric of Judas. That, verse 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship to come along and do something that he is not doing right now. From which Judas by transgression fell, that he may go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. All right, I don't want to, I'm going to do my best to not be super long today, but as we've walked through this introduction to the transition, and we hit chapter 2, and the glory, the Spirit is given, all right, Peter preaches, the church in one day adds 3,000, they go from 120 on their membership roll to 3,120, how do you like that? That's called revival, all right, that's great, all right. So it all happens, and here we have in this last part of chapter 1, this description of what they did in the transition. What should you and I do in the midst of our transition? And I'm going to be preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you today. Well, number one, in light of what happened in verse 11, the angel speaking, why stand you gazing up to heaven? He'll return. Number one, live by faith. Remember the promises of God that he's given to each of us. Trust God's plan and live by God's word. I know that we say that as followers of the Lord, it is something that we claim as Baptists as our distinctives. The word of God, the Bible, is our rule of faith and practice. Everything we do in life is affected by what the word of God says and how we're to live it out. Amen? That's what we're supposed to. Okay, well, here's your moment. Here's your test. Here we are, all of us. Am I today, tomorrow, the next months, the next years, hearkening back to what I said, till I die, right? Am I going to live by the word of God every moment of my life? Am I going to trust his word, who he is? He's promised to be good to me always. Always, not just when I think life is good, even when it's hard. God said it. I better live that way. In the transition, the angel said, there's still hope. Hang in there. Be faithful. Live by faith. I put it this way as maybe a sub-thought of live by faith. Live trustfully. Live trustfully. Trust the word of God. Trust God's plan. This is hard. Transition is hard. It's not easy. Let's admit it. Right? Let's cry together. Let's rejoice in God together and let's trust his word. If this is God's plan for my life, dear saint, and everything I know, I'm just humbly bearing my heart. This is what God has. It's not what I was planning. I told you last Sunday night, Abby and I had really sensed that maybe God was letting us gonna minister with you folks until my ministry years were up. And I rejoiced in that. I was not bored. I wasn't thinking, oh, there's trouble afoot and I just got to get out of town. None of my And yet God has thrust me. So if that's true, then it's true for your life too. That for his divine plans and purposes that are beyond our understanding, let's admit God is God and I don't get him completely. It's okay, but I must trust him fully, right? So whatever God has planned for the days ahead for Heritage Baptist Church, it will be, if we follow the Lord, don't follow your heart, believer. It's sinful. Follow the Lord and his word. If we follow the Lord, we have hope. This church will go forward. I would rejoice if God would allow it I come back in some months. Stop in and you're all still here. And you actually still like each other. And there are new faces that I don't know. Because you've cherished the work of God through you. And you're staying faithful to your commission. Right? Well, we've got God's word to do and to trust. Let's do it. So live trustfully. But then, as well, under live by faith, live faithfully. This is not the time to quit. This is not the time to hang in the towel. Like the apostles, they did what they knew it should be done. They went back, and what did they do? So they started praying. All right, Lord, what now? Oh, seems to me there's a little bit of work to do. And so they chose Matthias. And we'll talk about it in just a minute here. As they saw God's word, understood that they need to, okay, we need to be a part of this. And every indication of the narrative, and again, this is a story here for sure, but it's a true story, is they were pursuing and doing God's will and the choice of Matthias. Some would argue, well, what about Paul? Well, what about Paul? Yes, was he called an apostle? Is he the 13th apostle? No, he's an apostle. He's another uniquely sent one by God to do some amazing work. If Paul was to be the number 12 of the apostles, Luke, his dear friend, his doctor, who wrote Luke and Acts, I think would have made it very clear in the book of Acts that Paul would have been number 12. He'd explain that all. But rather, he included this work. And he wanted us to see that in that midst of that transition, they were being faithful to the very word of God, acting only on the word of God in choosing Matthias. That's cool to me. That's amazing. May God help each of us as we transition to be found faithful to the word of God, always obeying it, always trusting it, not quitting. Now, can I just, for a moment, share my heart? You here today, and there's some that aren't here, obviously. Be faithful. Just keep on coming. Keep serving the Lord. God has given you men that in this moment have been called by God to be the pulpit committee. I view that as a high calling at this moment. It's the way our Constitution is set up. I think it's rightful for them to take some lead at this moment. They're servant leaders. Don't let them be bossy. Chiding our deacons there. Let them be deacons, serve well, but this is their moment to help lead, to present to the church family what they believe would be the next pastor. Encourage them and help them and be found faithful and wait for that moment. Don't get anxious. We're not supposed to worry, are we? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication. What do they do? Verse 14, they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Wow. Here are these folks living out the word of God before even Paul wrote it in Philippians chapter 4. That's pretty great. Let's be found. Yes, we've got some things to pray about, don't we? Actually, some things to supplicate. Do you realize that long before, not long, it hasn't been that long since I've been asked, that's the end of March. One of the first things that came across Abby and I's heart and mind was start to pray for this church family. Lord, please, please provide a good shepherd for them. We love them dearly. We don't want them to be without a good shepherd. As I put in my morning prayer, I couldn't think of another word. I don't want a jerk to be your pastor. And you don't either, by the way. That'll be ruinous to this church family. May God give a shepherd that will keep you united, keep you following Christ. It won't be about him. It'll be about Christ. And this flock will go forward, right? Amen? So, this is our season. Let's be found faithful. Let's keep praying. All right, point number two. Live by faith, number one. Point number two, obey what you know is right. They had been told to stay in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father would be given. And so what did they do? They went back to Jerusalem, verse 12, and they abode there. The word abode, I went up into the upper chamber and abode with Peter and John and so forth at the end of verse 13. That means to be permanently remaining. They were doing exactly what Christ had told them to do. Stay here until the promise. What promise? They had some clues. They didn't know. Well, it was very clear in chapter 2 what the promise was all about. Right? The Holy Spirit miraculously comes, gifting them the cloven tongues of fire on their head, a physical demonstration of the reality that they had been baptized in the Spirit, had been indwelt by the Spirit, that this was something new. God was doing a new work. This is the start of that New Testament process that he had been telling them all about through the Gospels. And now here it comes. It became very clear what the promise was, all right? But in this moment, in the transition, okay, God said to stay here. Notice, we have no record of them running from Jerusalem, coming up with a new plan. They just parked. Well, that's boring. It may be the wisest thing you do at times in life is just park. Stay faithful. Keep doing what's right. They were waiting until God had given his word and it was completed. May God help each of us to right now in this moment to know what's to do what's right. I'll pick on myself for just a moment. I've been asked to become the president of Maranatha Baptist University. What does a president do? I don't know. I mean, I got some clues, of course. But I don't know. When the board was interviewing me, you know, what's your vision for Maranatha? I don't know. Ask me in a couple years. I have a better idea then. That's just reality. I'm a pastor. I've had the joy of shepherding a flock. I've learned a few things about how to do that. To be a president of some educational, I don't even like school. I didn't tell them that. My wife helped me bite my tongue on that one. Anyway, so can I? Not really. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I really don't. It'll come day by day, moment by moment. And so for you, church family, it'll come moment by moment, day by day. Today, you're doing the right thing. You're here in God's house. You're fellowshiping with God's people. You're hearing the preaching of God's word. You're growing in Christ. Amen. Keep it up. Just do right. Do right today. Do right tomorrow. Don't let sin and Satan get in, creating doubtful thoughts, sinful thoughts. No, be faithful. Just do right. And let's pray for one another that we all, together, will do right. Sunday school teachers, stay faithful. Do right. That God's given you that job to do. Be faithful. The children still need to hear God's word. All right? I will do everything. Up until the moment I have to walk out the door, I'm going to do everything I can. By God's help, you pray that Pastor will do right all the way to the bitter end. And it's not a bitter end, other than it's a parting. That's the bitter part. And may God help us to be faithful. Like they just did right. They were faithful. Number three. As they did here, lean on your spiritual leadership. Notice the list of the apostles. This was not insignificant that he lists them all by name here. They are in this moment, in this transition, asked to lead. And they led by waiting. They led by choosing another one, which they had biblical basis for. Lean on your spiritual leadership. God here is noting the role of the apostles and is preparing them for even the decision of choosing another one and the work that's going to be happening in the days ahead. They were adhering, verse 14, with one accord. These all continued with one accord. Folks, transition is not a time to go your own way. Transition is a time to continue to follow and to follow the leadership that God has placed in your life. Dads here, keep your homes faithful to the Lord through this season. I realize, again, our deacons are being asked be the pulpit committee, and then they'll present a candidate to you, and then you'll have him and interact with him and his family. He'll preach eventually, and you'll vote. Well, why did they pick him? You know, he's ugly. He's got red hair. I don't. You know, I'm just picking on. There's going to be something about that candidate that you're going to say, huh? Trust your leadership. I know that these men are wanting to do God's will. Deacons here today on the pulpit committee, you're going to be faithful to God, right? You're going to follow the Lord? Not your own ways? Well, if they're doing that and they've been in this place, then let's support them, all right? And let's be quick to hear their wisdom on it and follow. This is not a time for a beauty contest. You know, how many, let's put up five people and let's pick the best one. You know what that'll do? I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. That was a problem in Corinth, not a good thing. May that not be said here. So, let's lean on our spiritual leadership. I am glad that they've asked me to continue to shepherd you, and I will do everything I can. I'm going to continue to shepherd them. Not out of turn, Lord willing, always doing what's right. But I want you to stay faithful to the Lord. And when we leave, if my father would be the intern pastor, follow. Let him shepherd your soul. He's not going to do anything radical. That doesn't fit who he is, right? Aren't you glad? I'm glad for that in the moment. I'm glad for our deacons who are stable and faithful men. Continue to follow. God's going to be with you. You follow the Lord. And follow the leadership that he's given us. All right. Number four. Continue to be in one accord. In a time of transition, it's not a time to go your own way. It's a time to be together. In verse 14, again, that with one accord is a beautiful, beautiful term. It's a musical term, actually. A term that could be used to describe how a symphony plays together. There's something unique about all the different notes and tones that a symphony has. Last night, for a moment, one of my favorite symphony orchestras is the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. I'm partial to it, just having been there for so many years. And they live broadcast not every Saturday night, but almost every Saturday night. And so if I can, I try to just pick up at least a little bit of the concert. I missed the soloist last night, but it was listening to gorgeous Mendelssohn's Symphony No. 3. If you want to go home and find it, it's a good one. Anyways, Mendelssohn is one of my favorite composers. Anyways, all right, so you sit in and listen, and there's these brass instruments, king of the world, right? Okay, yeah, there you go.